नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिन्ते नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, I generally do a recap of, you know, that chapter at least, so that, you know, even if it takes us about, let's say, 7 to 10 sessions to complete it, you know, at least that repetition, we may get a fair idea of what the chapter is about, because it has been, recapped so many times. But of course, I know that not everyone appreciates, but it's just that my habit. So in order to get some continuity to the subject matter that we are discussing, so I hope you will tolerate it. So we have been discussing from the third chapter. So the third chapter starts with the question that Arjuna asks, because in the second chapter, Krishna had mentioned, Krishna had definitely in very clear terms indicated to Arjuna that Jnana Yoga is better than Karma Yoga, or the level of Jnana is higher than the level of Karma. But having said that, in equally categorical terms, Krishna told Arjuna to perform Karma Yoga only. In many, many verses. Karma Nyevadikaraste Ma Phale Shukadajana Ma Karma Phala Hetur Burmate Sungosto Karman, like that. So Arjuna is confused. He says, if you think Jnana is better than Karma, then shouldn't you want me to perform the better sadhana? So while clearly indicating that Jnana is better than Karma, why are you asking me to do Karma? Oh, why shouldn't I do Jnana? This is the question that Arjuna asks. Jayasi chet karmanaste mata buddhir janardana tat kim karmani gore mam niyo jayasi keshava. If you think Jnana is better, then why are you engaging? You are speaking in equivocal terms, Krishna, which is confusing. Can you please tell very clearly what is best for me? Krishna says, Arjuna, did I say that Jnana is better than Karma? Yes, I did say. And did I ask you to perform Karma Yoga? Yes, I did say. Just because Jnana is better than Karma, that does not necessarily mean that Jnana or Karma is a choice. It has qualification. It is just like telling PhD is better than bachelor's degree. So that does not mean a person who has completed his 12th grade, he can choose PhD. Because he does not have the qualification, he has to first do his bachelor's degree. So he says that Lokesmin Vibhida Nishta Pura Prokta Mayanagar Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. Understand, O Arjuna, that there are two categories of there are two qualifications. One is, of course, here he is talking about bhakti, so he is just comparing karma and jnana, so he is giving only two adhikaras. He says, Lokesmin Vividanishta Pura Proktamayanaga. Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. He says that there is Jnana Adhikar and Karma Adhikar. If you have Jnana Adhikar, you should perform Jnana Yoga. If you have Karma Adhikar, you should perform Karma Yoga. And because you possess Jnana Karma Adhikar, that's why I asked you to do Karma Yoga. Na Karmanam Anarambhan Naishkarmyam Purushoshnate Nacha Sanyasana Deva Siddhim Samadhi Gacchati. So he says that, then Arjuna, why can't I just perform ज्ञान योग और संन्यास. ही सेज दैट विदाउट परफॉर्मिंग योर कर्मयोग और निष्काम कर्म योग यू कैनॉट प्यूरिफाई योर हार्ट. एंड विथ एन इम्प्योर हार्ट इफ यू टेक अप टू संन्यास यू कैनॉट अचीव परफेक्शन ऑफ संन्यास. सो प्यूरिटी इज अ प्यूरिटी ऑफ हार्ट इज अ प्री रिक्विजिट फॉर संन्यास एंड दैट प्यूरिफिकेशन ऑफ हार्ट कम्स ओनली बाय परफॉर्मिंग योर वर्णाश्रम ड्यूटीज विच फॉर यू इज क्षत्रिय ड्यूटी ऑफ फाइटिंग ऑन द बैटल फील्ड. नहीं कश्चि क्षणम अपि जात तिष्ठत्मक कार्यते ही आवश्यक कर्म सर्व प्रकृति जैर गुण ही. सो ही सेज दैट वन कैनॉट रिमेन विदाउट डूइंग एनी एक्टिविटी इवन फॉर अ मोमेंट. सो अ कंडीशन्ड सोल cannot remain. It's not that a living entity cannot remain. A conditioned soul cannot remain even for a moment without performing any activity, because he is telling that because the qualification for Jnana Yoga is complete deconditioning. Okay, one overcomes one's conditioning completely, material conditioning. Only when one overcomes, then one can perform sannyas. Sannyas means refraining from performing varnashrama duties. But for a person who is still conditioned, who has not overcome his conditioning, he cannot refrain from performing any activity even for a moment, because the vasanas which he has accumulated over many many lifetimes anyway push him into performing some activity. So Krishna is telling Arjuna that, Arjuna, you want to take up the sannyas and just beg, but what about your vasanas? They will push you to act anyway. So then Arjuna says, no, that's not a problem actually. You see, during the the exile time period, I could suppress the push of my vasanas, and I remained without engaging in that. So why should it not be possible? I can do sannyas. Sannyas is possible for me. So then Krishna says, you are wrong, Arjuna. A sannyasi is not who can control the urges. Rather, a sannyasi is one who does not get any material urge at all. So a sannyasi is not a sense-controlled person. A sannyasi is one who does not have to control his senses, because the senses do not trouble. So that person who has the ability to control his senses can at the most be a good grihastha. I mean, we are talking in terms of the Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga platform. We are not talking on the platform of Bhakti. So don't, take it the other way. So he says that we are talking about the gradual transition of Brahmachari to Grihastha to Vanaprastha to Sannyas. So he says that one who can control his senses can at the most be a Grihastha, but a Sannyas have to endeavor to control his senses, because a sannyasi should not get a sense gratificatory desire only, because his heart has to be completely purified. So therefore, you may claim that I can control my senses, but ability to control senses is not the qualification for sannyas. A sannyasi should never get a sense gratificatory desire only. So that's what Krishna says here. कर्मेन्द्रियाणि संयम्य य आस्ते मस्मरण इंद्रियार्थान विमूढात्मा मिथ्याचार स उच्यते. He says, a person, a sannyasi who thinks that if I control my senses, I will become I am qualified for sannyas, such a sannyasi is a mithyachari. So mithyachari does not mean an out and out cheat who has a desire of cheating others, but he is cheating himself because of the incomplete understanding of what is sannyas or what is the qualification for Jnana Yoga. So then in the next verse he says, Yastu Indriyani Manasa Niyamya Arabate Arjuna, Karmendriyahi Karma Yogam Asaktaha Savishishyate. So he says that a qualified Karma Yogi is better than an unqualified Jnana Yogi, he says. Better to be a grahastha endeavoring to control your senses than to be a sannyasi endeavoring to control your senses. Because a sannyasi is not expected to endeavor to control your senses. Because a sannyasi has to focus on self-realization. A sannyasi endeavoring to control his senses means his heart is not yet purified. So if he is endeavoring to control his senses, he is not endeavoring for self-realization. So therefore, better be a qualified Nishkama Karma Yogi. Nishkama Karma Yogi means Grihastha. A Jnana Yogi means Sannyasi. Okay. So better to be a qualified Grihastha than an unqualified Sannyasi. Or better to be a qualified Karma Yogi than an unqualified Jnana Yogi. So here, again and again, I will remind you, here we are equating Karma Yogi to Grihastha and Jnana Yogi to Sannyasi, because we are discussing still the grad transition from Sakama Karma to Nishkama Karma to Jnana Yoga to liberation. Okay, that gradual path we are discussing. So when we are traversing the gradual path, the ashrama actually indicates our spiritual growth. Traditionally and strictly, even though the scriptures say panchashordvam vanam rajet, when one reaches 50 years old, one should go to the forest and take up the vanaprastha life. Well, this is not like that does not mean without qualification one goes. Because vanaprastha is the preliminary stage to sannyas. So vanaprastha stage is the stage of litmus test. It is a litmus test for sannyas. So that is why if you see in Bhagavatam, the last 5 thirds of the 7th canto describe the qualifications for sannyasi, the activities of a sannyasi, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and then kshatriya, vaishya, and brahmana, like that. So in that, if you see the description, if vanaprastha life has to be described in one word, then it is austerity. Austerity. Vanaprastha is the stage of austerity. Why? Because austerity, tolerance to austerity indicates purification of heart. When the heart is very impure, then one has very little tolerance to austerity. So, vanaprastha stage, so this is how it goes. When one takes up to grihastha life, generally one tends to have material desires, but gradually by proper execution of one's varnashram duties, slowly one develops let me add a slide here just to clarify this point. Just give me a second. Let me just add one slide here. So initially, it starts with the brahmachari life, which is the student life, where you learn the essential teachings. So then you take up to grihastha life. In grihastha life, initially one may have material goals. Okay. So material goals, one learns to attain the material goals by following the shastras, which is the stage of Sakama Karma Yoga. Okay. So then, by practice of Sakama Karma Yoga, one develops an understanding of liberation as a higher goal. Okay. One develops an understanding of liberation as a higher goal. Okay. So, even though they have developed an understanding of liberation as a higher goal, but still the heart is impure. Because the heart is impure, so you can say they are like, you know, sadhakas. Okay. In the path of pure devotional service, they can be likened to sadhakas, right? So sadhakas, they have prema as the goal, but their heart is still impure with anarthas, right? So similarly, nishkama karma yogis, okay? So nishkama karma yoga is also practiced by grihasthas. Okay, these are little higher level grihasthas who have understood liberation as the goal, even though liberation is their goal, but still they have to practice their varnashram duties because that is the means of purifying their heart. Their heart is impure. Okay, so once their heart becomes impure, then they reach the stage of vanaprastha. So vanaprastha stage is characterized by austerity. Okay. Because austerity, as I mentioned, tolerance to austerity is the litmus test for purification of heart. Because ultimately, by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, your heart must have become purified. So how do we know whether my heart is purified or not? Vanaprastha life indicates that. So once you are very clear after executing the vanaprastha life that the heart is definitely purified, then you take up to sannyas. So this sannyas is actually the stage of jnana yoga. And by practice of jnana yoga, one attains liberation. Okay. So this is the gradual path. So therefore, in gradual path, if you see, actually, Prabhupada, if you remember, in the system of Varna and Ashrama, Prabhupada calls Varna as social order and Ashrama as spiritual order. If you see, this is the reason. Because the Brahmachari Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas is not according to age. But when one properly practices these ashrams, as a grihastha, if one starts practicing Sakama Karma Yoga by following the scriptures, naturally it will lead to an understanding of liberation as a higher goal, after which they will give up all the kamya karmas, those karmas which involve, you know, all kind of material results and all that. They practice Nishkama Karma Yoga, and when practiced properly, it is naturally supposed to purify their heart. When the heart becomes purified, they test that purity by practice of vanaprastha and eventually take up to sannyas. And at sannyas, they focus fully on self-realization. Okay. And then eventually they become self-realized and achieve liberation. Okay. So this is the thing. So Arjuna is claiming that you know what, I can control my senses. He says, if you can control your senses, okay, which means you are qualified only for Nishkama Karma Yoga. Because what is the meaning of controlling my senses? If I have to control, then I am having material desires. If I have to control my senses, means my material desires are giving me sense gratificatory desires and I am controlling it. So he says, that is the stage of Nishkama Karma Yoga. You have to be a grihastha, right? Sannyas is the stage where your heart is completely purified, where you should not be spending time and energy to control your senses. Rather, you should be spending your time and energy to focus on self-realization. So therefore, Krishna says, no, not this. So then Krishna says, Niyata Karmadohya Karmanaha. Sharira Yatra Pichate Na Prasiddhyeta Karmanaha. He says, therefore, Arjuna, you should perform Nishkama Karma Yoga only because you do not have qualification for Jnana Yoga. Your heart still is not completely purified. And then Arjuna may ask this question. Well, you are pushing me to perform karma, but karma will give rise to reactions for which I have to suffer in this material world. So why are you pushing me to perform karma when karma will generate reaction? So Krishna says, no, your understanding is wrong. Not all karma will generate reactions. Yajnartat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandana padartam karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. So he says that not all actions will generate reactions. Actually, actions which are performed according to your prescribed duties as a sacrifice, and when you are not attached to the fruits, you are willing to offer the fruits to me, it will not generate any reaction. Basically, he's telling proper practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga will not generate any reaction. It is a reaction-free work. Okay, so that is yajna, work performed as a sacrifice according to your prescribed duty. And then Krishna says that this sacrifice is so important that when Brahmaji first created human beings, along with creating the human beings, he created yajna also. Sahayajna praja srishtva purovacha prajapati anena prashavishyat. So he created the sacrifice along with the appropriate sacrifice along with the human forms, particular sacrifices for Brahmanas, particular sacrifices for Kshatriyas and so on. And then he told, okay, even if you may have real desires, perform your sacrifice and then enjoy. Like that. So then, Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantuvah. Parasparam bhavayantaha shreya paramavapsita. So when you perform this sacrifice and offer the when you perform the sacrifice for me, for Krishna, and the devatas will also come to accept their part of the sacrifice. And when they get their part of sacrifice, they will be very happy and they will very happily provide you with all the amenities like water, sunlight and everything. Ishtan bhogan hi vo deva dasyante yajna bhavitah tair datta na pradayebhyo yo bhunte stene vasah. So but if you accept all these amenities and do not perform sacrifices in return, then such a person is certainly a thief. Yajna shishtashina santo muchyante sarvakilbishehi bunjate te twagam papayam atmakarana. So one who enjoys the amenities provided by these devatas, but do not perform sacrifices to give them their share, such a person will certainly suffer. Okay, someone is telling that they are not able to hear my sound. Are others able to hear me or not? Can you please let me the chat box? Are others able to hear my voice? okay, others are able to hear. So Vahini Mataji, maybe you are having some internet issues, or maybe your earphone or something like that. Maybe, I don't know. Okay. 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 So then he continues. So then he continues that annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhava yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhava. So Krishna then explains that how by performing sacrifice I become satisfied and I become happy. He says, annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhava yagyad bhavati parjanyo yagya karma samudbhava karma brabhavam viddi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yagya pratishtam. He says that, look, food, humans need food. Food comes from rain. And rain, you get rain because of performing sacrifice. And the sacrifice is actually, there are particular sacrifice which are a part of your prescribed duties, karma. And these prescribed duties are described in the Vedas. And the Vedas come from the breathing of the Supreme Lord. In this way, sacrifice is directly connected to me. So if you perform sacrifice, I will be very pleased. So sacrifice, but essentially what Krishna is indicating is performing sacrifice means it should be directly translated as perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. So if you perform Nishkama Karma Yoga, I will be very satisfied. This is what Krishna is indicating. Of course, this is an instruction for those who have karma adhikar. This is not for those who have bhakti adhikar. And because we are discussing the chapter on karma yoga, this has no direct relevance to devotees. But nevertheless, we should also understand about karma yoga. That's why we are discussing this. Then Krishna says, evam pravartitam chakram nano vartayati yahayaha agayur indriya ramo mogam parthasi jivati. One who does not follow this chakra of what is the chakra? The chakra is perform sacrifice, get rain, and rain give you food. Food is consumed by humans, and humans should perform sacrifice. From sacrifice, rain will come. From rain, food will come. From food can be consumed by humans, like that. So if you break this sacrifice, not that rain will stop coming. So because one of the common arguments people present is, nowhere in the world nowadays any of these kind of sacrifices being performed. Okay, but still rain is coming, grain is coming, and everything is coming. So this whole concept of Bhagavad Gita that if you don't perform sacrifice, you will not get rain and the whole world will starve, is a bogus presentation, because in the Western world, no one performs sacrifice, still you get rain and grain. So now you have to see, Bhagavad Gita actually does not say, if you don't perform sacrifice, you will not get rain. What Bhagavad Gita says is, if you enjoy the amenities of rain and sunlight without performing sacrifice, then you will get sins. So, therefore, one should not improperly present the teachings of Bhagavad Gita by telling that if you don't perform sacrifice, you will not get rain, which is not true. Rain, sunlight, everything, you will, irrespective of whether you perform sacrifice or not. But if you don't perform sacrifice and enjoy these amenities, you will get sin. So, and the experience of that sin may be in this life in the form of some diseases, or it could be in next life by suffering in hell or some other hellish condition. So therefore, that's what Bhagavad Gita says, actually. So then, evam pravartitam chakram nano vartayati hayaha agayur indriya ramo mogam parthasa jivati. But then he says, Arjuna may ask, Oh, Krishna, you are talking about karma adhikar, jnana adhikar. Only a person who has jnana adhikar can give up karma and perform jnana and all that. Now, my question to you is that you are talking about this jnana adhikar, jnana adhikar. Can you tell me what exactly is the adhikar for sannyas or adhikar for performing jnana yoga? So Krishna says, yastu atmaratirevasyat atmatruptascha manava atmanyeva hi santushtastasya karyam na vidyate. So, a person who has jnana adhikar or one who is qualified for sannyas, he must be attracted to nothing of this world. He must be attracted purely only to self-realization, and he should be satisfied only with self-realization, and he should not be satisfied with anything else other than self-realization. Tasya karyam na vidyate. For such a person, he need not perform any varnashrama duties. Okay. नैव तस्य कृतेनार्थो न कृतेनेह कश्चन न चास्य सर्वभूतेषु कश्चित् अर्थव्यपाश्रयः. सो सच अ पर्सन डस नॉट लूज एनीथिंग बिकॉज ऑफ नॉट परफॉर्मिंग वर्णाश्रम ड्यूटीज एंड सच अ पर्सन डस नॉट गेन एनीथिंग बाय परफॉर्मिंग वर्णाश्रम ड्यूटीज. सो वेरास अ कर्मयोगी बाय बाय रिफ्यूजिंग टू परफॉर्म हिज वर्णाश्रम ड्यूटीज ही विल गेट सिनफुल रिएक्शंस. वेरास अ पर्सन क्वालिफाइड फॉर ज्ञान, if he does not perform varnashram duties, he does not lose anything. You know, he does not get sinful reactions. So then Krishna says, tasmad asaktah satatam karyam karma samachara asakto hi acharan karma paramapnoti purusha. Therefore Arjuna, because you do not fall in this category, you are certainly not an atmarathi. You are certainly not atmanyeva santushto. Tasya karyam na vidyate. For him there is no prescribed duty, but for you still have desire to enjoy in this material world. Therefore I suggest that you still have desires, but even though you have identified liberation as a goal, but still you do have desires. Therefore you should perform Nishkama Karma Yoga to purify your heart. Tasmat asaktaha satatam karyam karma samachara. Asaktaha indicate Nishkama. Karyam karma refers to Karma Yoga. Asaktaha satatam karyam karma samachara means you should perform Nishkama Karma Yoga. Asakto hi acharan karma parama apnoti purushaha. So for you, only performing your Nishkama Karma Yoga will be the means of eventually attaining liberation. Then Arjuna may ask this question that you are talking about grihastha should perform or I am a king, I should perform my duty and all that. But Janak Maharaj did not perform. So Janak Maharaj was a perfected Karma Yogi. So at some point when his heart became completely purified, he installed his son as the king and he eventually gave up. So Krishna says, karmanaiva hi samsiddhim mastito janakadayah lokasangrahamevapi sampashyan kartum arhasi. He says that Janak Maharaj attained the purification of heart by proper execution of Nishkama Karma Yoga only, and then only he gave up. So Arjuna may say, okay, my heart is also purified. So Krishna gives another argument. Lokasangrahamevapi sampashyan kartum arhasi. Arjuna, your heart may be purified, but you do not have your heir apparent is not ready. Your next generation is not ready to take over the reins from you. So therefore, you have the responsibility to set the right example for your prajas. Even though you may have jnanadhikar, but your prajas will most likely have karma adhikar. So if you give up, if they see you visibly giving up your varnashram duties, then they will think that it is not necessary to perform varnashram duties, and they will give up their varnashram duties also. So then they will accumulate sin. So therefore, for lokasangraha, to write example for others, you should perform your duties. Yadyad acharati shreshtas tattadevetaro jana sayat pramanam gurute lokastadanu vartate. So whatever a Sreshta like you performs, itaro jana, the ordinary people will follow, your prajas will follow. Sayat pramanam kurute lokastadana vartate. So he says that, look, you may think that the Jnana Shastra should be your pramana. No problem. You study the Jnana Shastra. But publicly, you should follow the Dharma Shastras only. Because you are the Sreshta. So, whatever pramana you accept and follow visibly, that pramana will be accepted and followed by your praja also. Hare Krishna, can you hear my voice? Am I audible? Is my voice at audible? Okay, thank you. I'm sorry, I had some internet issues. Anyways, so he says that yadyad acharati sreshtas tatta deve tarojana sayat pramanam gurute lokastadana vartate. Arjuna, publicly you should your pramana should be Dharma Shastras only. You should promote Dharma Shastras. You should visibly follow Dharma Shastras. Because people will follow that. Because people are looking up to you. So even if you may think that you have qualification for jnana, that you do it internally. Then Krishna says, Arjuna, don't think that I am preaching to you something which I am not myself following. Name parthasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nanavaptam avaptavyam vartayeva cha karmani. He says, look, as the Supreme Lord, I have nothing to do. I have no prescribed duty. But still, I visibly follow all of that. Yadihyaham na vartayam jatu karmanya tandritah mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvashaha. If I do not carefully follow the duties, then people will follow my example. Utsideyur ime lokan nakuryam karmachedaham sankarasya chakartasyam upahanyam imha praja. So he says that, and you know what? If I don't follow my duties, if people follow my example, then it will lead to Varna Sankara. Because one of the arguments of Arjuna was that, Krishna, if I fight and many people get killed, then their wives will not have any protection and they will give birth to Varna Sankaras. Krishna is telling argument. This argument is not right. Rather, if you do not fight, then all your prajas will see that you are neglecting to perform your Varnashram duties. Wholesale, all of them will give up their Varnashram duties. And if they do not follow their Varnashram duties, they will fall down from their Varna and then subsequently, whatever children take birth, they will all be Varna Sankara. Therefore, your understanding is improper. This is what Krishna is indicating here. Because Krishna is a Sreshta who is looked upon. Similarly, Arjuna being a king is also a Sreshta. He will be looked upon and whatever example he sets, others will follow. So then, Krishna, he says, Saktaha karmanya vidvamso yata kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvamsta saktas chitirshur loka sangraham Arjuna, mostly the people under you will be attached people. So rather than giving up your duty, you perform your duty with detachment, and in that way teach them also how to perform detached work, rather than through your teachings or through your example encouraging them to give up their duty. But through your teachings and through your example, show them how they can perform detached work. So for that, you should also perform your work. So therefore, he says, Na buddhi bedam janayet ajnanam karma sanginam joshayet sarva karmani vidvan yuktah samacharam. So he says that never try to disturb the intelligence of these karma adhikaris by telling them that jnana is better than karma. Rather, you also perform karma and show them how detached work can be performed. So then the question is, how do I understand whether karma sanghi or he is qualified for jnana? So he says, Krishna says, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. He says that a karma sanghi or a foolish person, he has prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah. He thinks even though he is only as a soul, he is the desiring doer, prakriti is the performing doer, and Krishna is the sanctioning doer. But this foolish person thinks that I am the desiring doer, I am the performing doer also, because he is identifying with the body, and I don't need anyone's sanction. Like that he feels. Karta aham iti manyate. On the other hand, a person who is properly self-realized, tatva vittu mahabaho gunakarma vibhagayoho guna guneshu vartanta iti matva na sajjate. Whereas a wise person who is qualified for jnana, he clearly sees that when any desire that I get is just due to my vasanas, and the vasanas are a part of my body, and I am not this body. And any pleasure that I get or that I seem to experience is only due to my misidentification with the body. Otherwise, it is just senses, one part of prakriti interacting with another part of prakriti. The senses interacting with the sense objects. Senses and sense objects both are prakriti. Guna guneshu vartanta iti matva na sajjate. So prakriti guna sammuda sajjante gunakarmasu tana krishna vidau mandan krishna vinnam chale. Again he re-emphasizes a person qualified for jnana should not unnecessarily disturb the intelligence of a karma sanghi. Rather, he should also perform his duties and teach that person how one can perform detached work, rather than encouraging him to give up work. Because no one wants to do work. No one likes to do work or take responsibilities. Everyone wants the fruits without performing work. Okay. So then Krishna directly concludes in this 30th verse. This is the summary of Nishkama Yoga. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigatajvara. So first thing he says is, Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya, which means perform yagyartat karma. That's what he is telling. Okay, perform yagyartat karma. Do not be attached to the fruits. Offer the fruits to me. Adhyatma chetasa means fix your mind on self-realization, not on the meager fruits of this material world. Nirashir nirmamo bhutva. Don't become possessive of things of this material world. And vigata jvara. Be free from lethargy in executing your duties. Sometimes you may not feel like performing your duties, but don't be lethargic. Perform your duties. Yudhyasva. Yudhyasva means, specifically when I am talking about duties, I am talking about your varnashrama duties, and your varnashrama duty is to fight. Yudhyasva, fight. So having discussed very clearly about the principles of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Krishna says, Yeme Matamida Shraddhavantona Soyanto Machente Tepi Karmabihi. One who with faith follows this teaching always, without envying me, he will attain freedom, he will attain liberation. Yetveta Dabbisuyanto Nanu Tishtanti Mematam Sarvagyana Vimudamstan Vidhinashtan Achetasan. Achetasa. He says, but one who devoid of all knowledge and devoid of proper consciousness and who is hostile to this teaching of mine, neglects these teachings, he will become lost. So now Krishna says that, but Arjuna, if your heart is very, very impure, it becomes very difficult to suppress that nature of one's nature. Sadrisham cheshtate swasyaha prakrite jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigrahakyam karishyati. Even though one may know that this is forbidden and this should not be done, but it becomes very difficult to refrain from acting against one's nature. One will be forcibly pushed to act according to one's nature. And he says that, but he says, Indriyasya indriyasya arte ragadvesho vyavastito tayor na vasham agachet tauhyasya paripantino. But understand, O Arjuna, that, see, raga and dvesha will definitely be there because from unlimited lifetimes you have been accumulating material vasanas. Raga and dvesha will be there. But now that you have the proper teachings, you have understood the proper teachings, do not yield to this raga and dvesha, because once you yield, your ability to restrain will go down. The more you yield, the lesser you will become immune to the sensual urges. So while you still have some restraint, train yourself to train yourself to act according to the injunctions of the shastras and do not yield to your raga and dvesha. Indriyasya indriyasya arte raga dvesho vyavastito tayor na vashamagachet taushyasya paripantino. They will become greatest obstacles in your progress, Arjuna. So understand and do not yield to that. Okay. And if you keep pampering yourself and acting according to your raga and dvesha and do not act according to the principles of dharma and adharma, then very quickly you will become extremely sinful and you will lose your ability to restrain yourself from acting according to your nature. If you do not follow the principle which is given in 3.34, then you will fall within the category of 3.33 very soon. You will lose your ability to act according to the injunctions of the scriptures. You will become completely addicted to act according to your nature only. So then Krishna says that, okay, Arjuna may say that, look, dharma has to be followed, right? So why not I follow the dharma of a brahmana? Why follow the dharma of a kshatriya? I can very easily follow the dharma of a brahmana. So he says, shreyan swadharmo vigunah paradharmat swanishtitat swadharmehi nidhanam shreyah paradharmo bayavah. He says, Arjuna, better improperly perform your duty than to perfectly perform someone else's duty. So this is where we had a long discussion, like, right? So this was the last verse that we saw. It took us some time to recap, but still we have time. We will cover a few more verses. So last week we discussed that. So here what Krishna is telling is, better to, as if you are a brahmana, better you improperly, incompletely perform your brahmanical duties than to perfectly perform the Kshatriya duties. Okay. So this is where we were discussing. Many times people say, even though Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnyam maha, maya srishtam guna karma vibhagayo. So Krishna says that the four varnas are divided based on guna and karma. But the right understanding for that is the primarily it is divided based on guna only. Okay, that is why here Krishna is telling your occupational duty you should perform your occupational duty. So your occupational duty means what? It means whatever duty that you perform that will not define your varna. So if a Shudra starts performing yajnas, he does not become a Brahmana. Okay. So it is not like that. So that is why here Krishna is emphasizing someone else's duty. So primarily, varna is decided based on one's guna only. So many times people say that, okay, varnashram, we have to follow our varnashram. So first thing, what is your varna? This is my occupation, so this is my varna. No. Your varna is not decided by your occupation. Rather, you are supposed to choose your occupation based on your varna. Right? So, why Shreyan Swadharmo Viguna Paradharmo Sunishtita? We saw the example of, because a Kshatriya has a specific disease. A Brahmana has a specific disease. A Vaishya has a specific disease. A Shudra has a specific disease. So, the occupational duties that are prescribed for these four different varnas is the specific medicine that can cure that particular disease. So, just like otherwise, if, like we saw last time, a person who is suffering from malaria, he finds his own medicine very, very bitter. He sees that the person who is next to him, who is suffering from jaundice, you know, the doctor is giving him, you know, sugarcane juice. So, he tells, let me take sugarcane juice. So, the doctor will not allow, right? So, he says, both kadwa hai, you know, this medicine is very bitter. Let me take the sweet sugarcane juice. The point is, you better take your medicine. You know, if you have to take 3 tablets a day, 3 times, better take your own tablet once or twice. You know, your recovery may be slow. But if you take someone else's medicine, you may die, actually. So similarly, if a Brahmana performs a Kshatriya's duty, first thing, there is sin for neglecting his own duty and there is sin for performing someone else's duty also. And on top of that, his own vasanas, a material, his heart, purification of heart will not happen because he is taking the wrong medicine actually. So, Shreyan Swadharmo Vigunah Paradharma Swanushtita Swadharme Nidanam Shreyah Paradharmo Bayavah. He says, performing others' duties is full of danger. Is full of danger actually. Of course, again and again I am emphasizing these principles which Krishna is describing is for those who have karma adhikar, not for those who have bhakti adhikar. This is not relevant for devotees directly. Of course, what is relevant in this verse for devotees is a devotee's dharma is to perform bhakti. So the swadharma of a bhakti adhikari is bhakti. If he thinks that bhakti is difficult, let me perform some karma yoga or little bit of karma yoga or little bit of jnana yoga for which he does not have adhikar, then bhayavaha. This is not good for him. He will not progress. That is what he is indicating here. Okay. So, but we did not have, we will see this purport also. and then I will pause for some discussion, questions, comments. Okay. So here, Krishna says, Chagadagur says, in this verse, the Lord answers, those who desire to perform the duties of others, such as non-violence. Non-violence is, Krishna is telling that non-violence, why should I be violent? I'll be non-violent like a Brahmana. Because it is easy to execute and also not independent of dharma. Adharma to nahi hai. Shastras do recommend non-violence as a dharma, na? So dharma for Brahmanas, I will perform Brahminical dharma. And because of inability to fight the battle due to attachment and repulsion. So he says, raga dvesha. So Krishna says, look, don't yield to raga dvesha, which means yielding to raga and dvesha, do not give up your battle. So rather perform dharma. He says, how can both be accomplished? So he says, non-violence is also a dharma given in the Shastra. I will follow that dharma. In which I don't have to necessarily kill Bhishma and Drona also. And at the same time, I'm not giving up dharma. Krishna says, no, no, that will not work. Because that is not your dharma. That is someone else's dharma. He says, one should boldly perform one's duties even though they may have some slight fault. This is better than performing others' duties, even if those duties are executed well and are full of good qualities. The reason is given. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duties is better. Performing others' duties is dangerous. In the seventh canto of Bhagavatam speaks of performing others' duties as irreligion. Paradharma mentioned as one type of irreligion. So he says, vidharmaha paradharmascha abhasa upama chalaha adharma shaka panchema dharmagyo adharmavat tyajet. Dharmagya, the knower of dharma, adharmavat tyajet, considering it to be an adharmic activity, he should avoid performing pancha ime adharma shakshakaha. He should avoid performing these five types of adharma, forbidden adharma. And one of that is paradharma. There is also vidharma, abhasa dharma, upama dharma, chala dharma. We will not discuss what it is right now. But he says that paradharma means performing someone else's prescribed duty. Varjit hai. One should not do. This is what Krishna is telling Arjuna. Okay, you may say that you will perform the Brahmana dharma. So you see the argument is slightly different. Initially, Krishna says, I will take sannyas, I will take sannyas. He says, no, you cannot take sannyas. Because your heart is not pure, you have to perform Varnashram dharma. So now Arjuna's argument is, okay, I will perform Varnashram dharma, but I will perform Brahminical Varnashram dharma. So now he says, no, you should stick to your Varna and you should stick to your ashram only and not anyone else's ashram and anyone else's Varna. You cannot take up the sannyas, you should be a grihastha. You should not take up to the duties of a Brahmana, you should perform the duties of a Kshatriya. That's what here he is telling. Paradharmo bayavahah. Okay, this is where we discussed last time. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move ahead to today's discussion? Anything anyone would like to share as add? There was, I think, one question in the chat box. Okay, there is a question. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7th Canto, why Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga section of purification is mentioned? Well, of course, for multiple reasons actually. Sometimes these sections are discussed to attract those kind of people also, sometimes to create a contrast. And also because this was specifically asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj to Narada Muni, he instructed on this. And also, you know, sometimes to create contrast and show the superiority of bhakti also, such sections are discussed in Bhagavatam. Any other quick discussion points, questions, comments, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay, if there is none, we will continue. So at this point of time, Arjuna, okay, there is one hand up. Shyam Kund Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. I just thought of sharing a slightly different perspective here in Bhagavad Gita. In Madhva, or an additional perspective also in one sense. In discussing about Arjuna being, Krishna telling to Arjuna that you have to fight this war, in Madhvacharya, Shripad Madhvacharya wrote two commentaries. In his commentary, Madhvacharya brings in an interesting reference, and he says, from the Brahma Purana, I think, that from the age of 14, every moment a person lives, the reactions, by living in this world, the person is accumulating enough reactions for 10 more births. So there is no way one can counteract by simply not doing na karma anarambhan, by just going to the forest, one cannot counter that many reactions at all by not doing anything. That was one point which I just thought maybe you may like from Madhvacharya. That's one. And he also brings in that, I think it's the 20th verse of this third chapter here. 20th, I think it's about Maharaj Janaka, right?
Yeah.
So for the Loka Sangraham Evapi there, Shripada Madhvacharya says that Janaka and Sanaka Sanatana, they are all qualified to be jnanis. But the difference is Sanaka and others were jnanis and they lived like a sannyasi. And Janaka was jnani, but for the sake of Loka Sangraha, for the welfare of this world, he lived following the Nishkama Karma Yoga path.
Yeah.
And so he says, Arjuna is, by giving these examples, Krishna is telling Arjuna, you are also a jnani like them. Better be for Loka Samgraha, be a person like Janaka. That was Shripada Madhvacharya.
This is two perspectives. Both these perspectives are given by the perspective that you gave is Baldev Devushan and Srila Prabhupada give this. So this understanding is given by Srila Vishnu Acharya Thakur. And in one sense, there is no contradiction.
Correct.
Because Janaka is actually the people, the kings who came in that lineage of Janaka, they were all called Janaka. So there were multiple Janakas, you know, everyone was called Janaka. So it is quite possible that one of those Janakas actually, after purifying their heart and you know, installing the heir apparent, then subsequently took up to that path. And some other Janaka, despite having a pure heart for the purpose of Loka Sangraha, you know, he continued being a king and externally continued practicing his Nishkama Karma Yoga duties like that. Is that okay, bro?
Yes, bro. Yes, bro. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. If there are no further discussion points or questions, we will move ahead. So Arjuna here says, Arjuna here is asking a question now. Very famous question. You all know this. Ata kena prayukto yam papam charati purushah anichannapi varshneya Baladivaniyojitah. So he's asking, O Varshneya, O descendant of the Vrishnis, Ata Kena Prayuktaha, by what force ayam purushaha, a person, charati, by what is that force which is forcing a man to engage in sin? Papam charati. Anichchanapi. Even though he is unwilling, baladiva niyojitaha, as if by force, what is forcing him to act in sin, in a sinful activity, even though he is unwilling? Because naturally, so here there are many things which have been identified as sin, right? It is sinful if you are a grihastha to perform the duties of a sannyasi is sin. If you are a brahmana to perform the duties of any other varna is sin. To not perform your duty is also sin. To perform forbidden activities also sin. So Arjuna is asking, look, I understand all of that you're telling. This is sin, this is sin, this is sin, this is sin. I agree. But something, what is it that is sin? Anyone, myself or anyone else, what is it that pushes us to engage in sinful activity? Even though we are unwilling, anichchanapi. Okay. So here, ichchanaiya, because we know that it is wrong. So here, Arjuna presents this classic tug of war between, on one side, one's faith or shraddha, and other side, one's swabhava. So he is indicating his shraddha by calling that activity as papam. He says it is sinful, I know. And he also uses the word anichchan. Okay. Indicating that I am unwilling to do this. And then he is indicating the swabhava by telling balad. Baladiva niyojitam. Some external force is pushing me to act in this way. Okay. So, like that. So, he's telling that, well, I don't want to do. I know it's sinful, but someone is pushing me. What is that force? So, this could be in the context of Nishkama Karma Yoga. It could be, well, you know what? Actually, I understand that to perform someone else's duty is sin. But you see, you want me to do the duty of a grihastha and fight. But I want to do the duty of, but I like doing the duty of a sannyasi, even though it is sinful. Now you want me to perform the duty of a kshatriya, but I want to do the duty of a brahmana, even though you are telling me that it is sinful. And not only that, sometimes there are many other activities which are forbidden according to the Shastras. But we do get those desires to perform those forbidden activities. What is that force which is pushing, which pushes people to act in inappropriate ways, even though they know that it is inappropriate? Okay. So, here, because Krishna did mention that indriyasya indriyasya arte ragadvesho vyavasthito tayorna vasham agachet tauhyasya paripanna. Don't yield to raga and dvesha, he says. So, referring to verse 34 about raga and dvesha, in this verse, Arjuna asks about the attachment to the objects of the senses, such as enjoyment with others' wives, even though it is forbidden by scripture. Scriptures reject acting inappropriately, but still, knowing that it is inappropriate, even after knowing that it is inappropriate and sinful, why does one get that desire? So he says that, though without desire to engage in sin, because of knowledge of the rules and prohibitions of the scriptures, by what influence does one engage in the act? As if by force. why is one acting in this way? I know it is wrong. Even for this, for a karma yogi, this may be for devotees also, right? We know that this is anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. This is anukul for bhakti. These are pratikul for bhakti. Sometimes we have dvesha for that which is anukul for bhakti, and we have raga for that which is pratikul for bhakti also. And sometimes we may yield to that also. We may end up doing things which are unfavorable for our bhakti, and we may sometimes neglect doing things which are favorable for our bhakti also because of our material conditions. No, I mean, I don't know, because of whatever reasons. Arjuna wants to know what is it. So this means that the desire for the object strongly arises under the influence of the object's stimuli. So Arjuna wants to know, what is it that pushes me to engage in this way? Krishna answers. Shri Bhagavan uvacha, kamayesha krodayesha rajoguna samudbhavah mahashano mahapapma vidyenamiha vairinam. So Krishna says, kamayesha krodayesha. It is lust and then anger. Lust, when unfulfilled, leads to anger. Right? Rajoguna samudbhavah, which is arising from the mode of passion. Okay. Vidhi enam. Know this as mahashano, as the great devourer. So this kama, which later becomes krodha when unfulfilled, is born out of mode of passion. And this kama is mahashana. Ashana means eater. He devourer. He is the great devourer. Mahapapma. He is a ferocious one. Very sinful person. Vairi. Vairinam. He is an enemy. This lust, our desire to enjoy material things, is a great devourer, and it is our great enemy, and it is mahapapma. So here, literally, in one sense, lust is personified. There is a personification of lust here. Krishna actually wants to talk about the quality of lust. So lust is the enemy, in the sense lust is an obstacle. Lust does not consider us an enemy, because lust is just it's just a quality. It's inanimate. Like that. So he says, Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, lust composed of the desire for the sense objects impels a man to sin. A man being urged by lust engages in sin. This lust, appearing in a different form, becomes visible as anger. So lust, when fulfilled, manifests as greed. Manifests as greed. When unfulfilled, it manifests as anger. Like that. This means that lust, being obstructed by someone, transforms into anger. That's what he is indicating here. So here, even though he is using the word lust, you can in general take it as, in a generic way, it refers to the vasanas, the material vasanas, which actually inspire a desire to enjoy some object of this material world. Lust arises from the mode of passion, and from lust arises anger in the mode of ignorance. Okay. But after, but someone may say, okay, but after the fulfillment of desire, the desire should be finished, right? when the desire is fulfilled, when the desire is fulfilled, then the desire should go. So Krishna says, no, Mahashano, this lust is a great devourer. It is impossible to satisfy the expectations of desire. If it is fulfilled, it will ask more. Anior, like that. Lust is never fulfilled when even when we lust is never satisfied even when we fulfill those lusty desires. It only increases. As the Smriti says, and there is a similar verse in Bhagavatam, he says, this is from Mahabharata, Yat Prithivyam Vrihi Yavam Hiranyam Pashava Striyah Nalam Ekasya Tatsarvam Iti Matva Shamam Vrajet. Understanding that all that is available on earth in the form of food, gold, animals and women is not enough for one person. One should go about with peaceful mind. So, essentially, if you, the means of, basically Krishna says that if, you know, you cannot try to if this is the resources or and if this is the need, okay, so if you try to bridge this gap, so if you try to bridge this gap by enhancing the resources, hoping to bridge this need, okay, or you can say want, okay, because I don't want to say that, you know, even basic needs should not be fulfilled. Of course, what is basic, what is a luxury, one needs proper guidance for that, and it is little bit subject, there is a sub, it's little bit subjective also. I don't want to so he says that if you try to increase the resources and try to bridge this, this will never happen, because when you increase the resources, the need will also increase. Then when you increase the resources, the need will further increase. Okay. So this gap will never be bridged by just adding fuel more and more, because increasing the resources more and more will increase the needs more and more. So therefore, one should learn to bring down their needs rather than try to keep fulfilling all, or bring down their wants rather than trying to fulfill the needs, you know, fulfill their wants through increasing the resources. Yeah. So, so therefore, he says this is Mahashano. You think that if I feed him, once his stomach is full, he will keep quiet. No, he has unlimited capability of eating. Whatever you feed him, he can consume and he will ask for more. So he says, if it is not possible to make an alliance with lust by giving dana, then is it possible to bring under control by Sama or Veda? So there are four ways if someone is an enemy, or if someone, if you want to bring someone under control, there are four means. Sama, Dana, Veda, Danda. Sama means through pacifying words. Dana means by giving gifts or bribe. Veda means to to create some dissension or by creating some fear. And danda means by punishing. Okay. These are the four means. So, can you pacify lust by giving dana, which means whatever he asks, you give. Will he be pacified? He says no. Dana will not work. What about sama or beda? Pacifying words or words which can create fear. Will that try to subdue lust? He says no. He says lust is a very great demon, Mahapapma. He cannot be controlled in that way. So you cannot control lust by sama, dana, beda. Danda is the only way. That's what he's indicating here. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we move ahead? Okay, if there is none, we will continue. Krishna next says, the levels of this covering of lust. Dhumena vriyate vaknir yata darsho malena cha yatulbena vrito garbas tata tene dama vritam. He says, yata dhumena avriyate vaknihi. As fire is covered by smoke. Okay. So when smoke covers fire, you can little bit see the form of the fire is also there, and you can experience the heat and light of fire also to a great extent. Yatadarsho malena cha, or when mirror is covered by dust, then the form is there but the utility is not there. Right. So when dust covers the mirror, you can identify that it is a mirror, but the reflecting, the mirror will not show the, exhibit the utility of reflecting the image. Or yata ulbena avrito garbaha, or as an embryo is covered by the womb. When the embryo covers the womb, you can neither the form is there nor the utility is there. There is a human being there, you cannot see the human being, and there is no utility, you know, that he cannot perform his function also. In the same way, tata tena idam avritam. In the same way, this whole universe, which consists of various species, to various degrees, they are covered by this lust. Okay, they are covered by this lust. Lust means desire to enjoy in this material world. It says, lust is not just an enemy of some, but it's an enemy for all. This is explained with examples. The examples illustrate various degrees of lust. Shallow, deep, and very deep. The fire, even though covered by smoke, still performs its function of burning. So, it covers, even though covered by smoke, it can still burn. Because of the disappearance of its natural clarity, the mirror covered by dust does not carry out its function of reflecting images properly, though it is known as a mirror by its form. So, fire covered by smoke, form and utility both are there. Dust, mirror covered by dust, form is there, utility is not there. The fetus covered by the womb cannot perform its functions of stretching its hands and feet. Its true form cannot be understood within that covering. So form is also not there. And form is also not there, and the utility is also not there. So similarly, when lust is shallow, it is possible to remember the spiritual goals. Okay. When lust is shallow, it is possible to remember the spiritual goals. When lust is deep, it is not possible to remember the spiritual goals. When it is very deep, one becomes unconscious. Okay. So, this is levels of depth. we will end today's discussion with that particular discussion. I may take 2-3 more extra minutes, so kindly I apologize for that. So in this way, the universe is covered by lust. So Krishna says in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita that dhyayato vishayan pumsan, dhyayato leads to sangha, sangha leads to kama, kama leads to lobha or krodha, more intense, okay, which then leads to sammoha, then it leads to smriti vibhrama, then it leads to buddhi nasha, and then it leads to pranashyati, okay, destruction. So dhyayato is meditation. Okay, this is a very, very shallow, very shallow state. Sangha leads to attachment. Okay, this is little more deeper. Attachment means, oh, this is nice. Kama means, I want it. It is much more deeper. Okay. So where at these stages one can still remember the spiritual goals. Then when it becomes lobha and krodha, then the ability to remember the spiritual goals start becoming compromised. So lust is becoming, it is becoming deeper. Okay. And sammoha means one loses, one cannot see what is right, what is wrong. The inability to see what is right, what is wrong. Right and wrong. Okay. So where, you know, it is becoming deeper. Smriti Vibhrama means whatever we learnt in the scriptures, that if lust attacks, I should do this, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, various things that we need to do, we start losing our memory. Okay. Oh, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do to overcome lust? That memory is lost. Okay. When memory is lost, buddhi nasha. Buddhi nasha means, this indicates determination. Okay. So once determination,
can you hear me?
Can you hear me now? Okay. I'm sorry. So, so I was telling that sammoha means one forgets what is right, what is wrong. Smriti Vibhrama means, you know, whatever. If lust attacks, you should do this 1, 2, 3, 4. You start forgetting that. And when he forgets it, then there is buddhi nasha. The determination to fight lust is gone. He just gives in to lust and starts enjoying. Okay. So, and then it leads to fall down of the soul. So, you see here, there are multiple ways in which this, you know, these three levels are described. One is, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, these stages, dhyayato, sangha, kama, lobha, kama, krodha, sammoha, smriti, vibhrama, buddhi, nasha, pranashyati. These stages can be divided into this shallow, deep, and very deep. Okay. Or another explanation is generally lust is very shallow in human form, where the ability to remember the spiritual goals is still there. And in forms like animals, it is deeper. And it is very deep in forms like plants and trees, like that, you know, which is like much more deep-rooted state of unconsciousness, like that. But you can understand it in either of these ways. You know, even in our own life, we can see whether lust is shallow or deep or really deep. You know, when we are still able to remember our spiritual goals and pursue them, then it is shallow. But when when it becomes too strong and we are not able to choose spiritual pursuits as against the impulse of the lust, then lust has become deeper. If we completely forget about our spiritual goals and unconsciously indulging in sense gratificatory activities, then it has become very, very deep. Like that, Krishna is describing various levels of lust. Any final question, comments before we wind up for the day? Okay. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion next week. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.